Greetings, welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. Here's a sermon from God's Word entitled, How to Draw Near to God. This message today is about drawing near to God. How to draw near to God. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, says, Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. It's good to be drawn to the Lord. And we cannot come to the Lord on our own. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. And the Lord draws us to himself. Here, the lover has already experienced her lover. And the lover has already experienced his lover. And they're saying, draw me. We will run after thee. The thought has been made by one of our elders that you don't have to chase after God. You don't have to chase him. God is right there. All you have to do is just acknowledge him and look to him. But when it says run, we will run after thee, it's because we already know what it is to be in love with Jesus. The song said, I'm in love with Jesus because he's in love with me. We already know what it is to have that love relationship with God. And once you have experienced the Lord, once you have been drawn to him, you cry out to him, draw me. The word is draw me. We will run after you. It's a drawing, a pulling. God pulls on us and he draws us. He does not force us against our will. But it's a wooing, it's a drawing. Draw me, we will run after thee. It's like David, you have a heart that runs after God. You have a heart of righteousness that thirsts after him, that you do not have an unsatisfied thirst, but you have a thirst that's always being filled, but you have a hunger for God, you have a desire for God. Amen. How many know that if you don't have a desire to eat, they can put a T-bone steak. They can put a, what does that country boy call it? A filet mignon? The filet mignon? They can put one of them out there in front of you. And if you don't have a desire to eat, it doesn't matter what they put on the table, you don't have a desire to eat. But this lover has a desire. We have been in touch with Jesus. We are born again, and we have a desire after righteousness. We have a hunger for the things of God. We desire the things of God. The New Testament and the Old Testament both call it zeal. We have a zeal for God. The upright love thee. We have this love relationship with the Lord. We have been drawn to him. There was a time when we didn't want to have a thing to do with God. We did not like God. We didn't like the church. We didn't want to hear the preacher preach. But he drew us to himself. And now we want him to draw us. Draw me. We will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chambers. Oh, come into the king's chambers. Take me to the throne. Leave me there alone. Take me to the king. Once you have been into the king's chambers, your life will never be the same. This lover has come into the king's chambers, and the life has been changed. Never seen anything like this before. Never experienced anything like this before. Never had anything like this to happen to them before. That's what we can say about God. I've never had anything like this to happen to me before. I've never had a high so high. I've never had a good so good. I've never had a feeling like this. They say the Pentecostal song, you know, is hooked on a feeling. Well, I'm hooked on a Holy Ghost feeling. Amen. I've never had anything like this. Yes. This is not something you get over in a one-night stand. This is not something you can take it or leave it. Some people can take church or leave it. It's because That's the relationship they have. That's all they have is church. If you got salvation, you're not going to take it or leave it. Because once you take it, you don't want to leave it. He has brought me into the king's chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We have joy in our salvation, no matter what's going on around us. That doesn't change the fact that we have a relationship with God. We will remember your love more than wine. You used to get drunk on that old rot gut wine. Now you come to Jesus, you get the new wine that makes you feel fine all the time. The upright love thee. We have a relationship with God. John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." You don't just make up your own mind to get saved. You get saved when he draws you. Well, how do I know when he's drawing me? He's drawing you right now. He's drawing a lot of people right now. It's not that whether he's drawing us or not. Most of the time, he's drawing people, but they're not responding to him.
That's right.
The Jews had a problem because they were rejecting Christ. And he said, "That's all right, because no man can come to me anyway except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day." We have a resurrection promise that God draws us to himself. We get right with God. We get into the family of God. And even if we lay down and die, we're going to get up one of these days.
Yeah.
He will raise us up at the last day. In John chapter 14, Jesus was talking about, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. I will love him. I will even manifest myself to him." And one of the disciples wanted to know, "Lord, how can you manifest yourself to us without manifesting yourself to the whole world?" And Jesus said in verse 23 of John 14, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." God draws you into that special relationship with him. You have a relationship with God like no other. It's almost like there's nobody in the whole wide world except you and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You have that relationship with God. If you don't believe that he will draw you close to him and you can be drawn close to him, he can be drawn close to you, you get into a place somewhere and you start acknowledging God and just praising him and worshiping him, and he'll do exactly what Christ said here. If you have my commandments and you keep them, if you love me, you'll keep my words, you observe the word of God, you honor his word, you praise him, my Father will love him. God loves everybody anyway. But when you have a relationship with God, you can enjoy his love more than just the average Joe or Henry or Harry out there in the world. He loves everybody. But everybody is not in tune with him whether they can enjoy that love. You can't kiss your wife from a mile away. You got to get on one end of the hot dog, she's got to get on the other, and you meet in the middle and you say, "Hot dog!" No matter how good you love each other, you can't kiss each other from a mile away. You got to get close to do it. And Jesus said, if you honor my word, my Father will love you. He loves you anyway. He loves you way up there in heaven where he is, but he wants more than to be way up there in heaven where he is. He wants a connection. It may be wireless, but he wants a connection with you. He wants a connection where his love can connect you and touch you. We will come to him. How will the Father and the Son come to us if they don't leave their throne in heaven? They're still on the throne. How can they come to you? It's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. There's no distance from the Holy Spirit. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, the Father and Son would be way up there in heaven. We're down here on earth. But the Holy Spirit, God is a spirit anyway. You can't combine him to one place. God is everywhere. His Spirit's here with us. Father and the Son are there in heaven. He's got you all covered. We will come to him. We will make our abode with him. We will set up shop with him. We'll be right there with him. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, "The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. by the which we draw nigh unto God. The hope of the new covenant, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that's how you can draw near to God. The law was not designed to make you perfect. It was designed to show you how imperfect you are and how holy God is. And when the law was fulfilled in Christ, now the bringing in of a better hope did make us perfect and complete in Christ. The new covenant, thank God for the new covenant. Because of the new covenant, we have hope that they didn't have before. And this hope brings us to God by this hope which we can draw near to God. Because we have hope. And we have a sure enough hope. We have an everlasting hope. In chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The title is, how to draw near to God. This is how you draw near to God. It's not by the blood of bulls and goats and calves, not by the ashes sprinkling the heifer the unclean. It's not by a meal offering. It's not by a meat offering. It's not by observing some washing or cleansing. The way that you draw near to God is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can draw near to God because of the blood of Christ. You don't have to worry about being pushed out, or about being thrown out, about being shut out and kept out because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It says right here, we have boldness to enter into the holiest, into that holy place where nobody was allowed but the high priest, and he couldn't even go but once a year. But now we can go. By the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood. By a new and living way. Not the old way. Thank God we talk about the old time way. We sing about the old time way. But the old time way is really getting to the new way. Boy, let's try that to confuse you a little bit. When we speak about the old time way, we're not talking about the neo age and the neo Pentecostal and all this neo pseudo stuff. We're not talking about that. We talk about the old time way, but actually it's the new way, the new and living way. The new and living way never gets old. Amen. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. When Jesus died on the cross, his body was beaten and broken and bruised for us. Up and down on the cross. You heard preachers talk about him going up and down on the cross. They had to try to breathe, and they would push themselves up, and they couldn't hold it so long, and they'd go back down and push themselves up and go back down. And every time he went back down, his back hit on that ragged, rugged cross, was beaten and mangled and bruised for us. And by those stripes on his back, not only by the whip, but by the cross, that jagged, rugged, ragged cross, by the cross and the blood and the body that was broken and bruised on that cross, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we're healed. No wonder the veil in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Through the veil, that is to say his flesh, that's how we can draw near to God. That veil is not there anymore. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when you read Moses in the Old Testament, the veil is still upon their eyes, is still upon their hearts. That veil is done away in Jesus Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, there's good news, because we're not shut out by the veil. The veil is torn in two. Christ tore that veil in two. Now we can go into the presence of God. That's why and how we can be drawn to him. Having an high priest over the house of God. We don't have to go through a denominational priest. We don't have to go through some clergy order. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ himself, the high priest over the house of God. That's why and how we can be drawn to God. That's how we can draw near to God, because we have a personal high priest over the house of God. Wow. That's enough to make you do the Holy Ghost boogaloo. We have a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We can draw near to him with a true heart. We don't have to have a false heart. We don't have to have a feigned heart, a tricky heart, a hard heart, a deceitful heart. That you don't know whether people got it out for you, whether they got it in for you, whether they're going to do you out, whether they're going to do you in, whether they're going to try to trick you, whether they're going to try to scam you. You don't have to worry about any of that with God. We can draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We don't have to doubt like they did in the Old Testament. They didn't know whether Jehovah was God. They didn't know whether Baal was God. They didn't know whether the calf was God. They didn't know what was God and who was God. They had Jehovah right there in front of them, but they rejected him. They didn't know. They had always had doubt. But we can draw near to him in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We can draw near to God because our hearts has been sprinkled from an evil conscience. You don't have to go through your life every day, lay down every night, tossing and turning. Didn't sleep at all last night, tossing and turning. That doesn't have to be your bedtime song. You don't have to worry about that. You can have a clear conscience. Your heart can be sprinkled from an evil conscience, and your body is washed with the pure sanctifying water of the Word of God. Yes. That's why and how you can draw near to God. James chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Do you think that God was kidding or that the Scripture was just fooling around when it said the Spirit? It's not talking about the capital S Holy Spirit. It's talking about that little S Spirit, the Spirit that's in man. Do you think that the Scripture was just talking off in vain when it said the Spirit that dwells in us, our human spirit without God, that it dwells in us, he lusteth to envy? Do you think that the Scripture was just playing around when it said the Spirit that's in man without God lusts to envy? But he giveth more grace. Because of the grace that God gives, that takes that dead human spirit. Now, when I say dead, we're not dead because once you're conceived, and this is very important, life begins at conception. When you are conceived, when a person is conceived, that is a real person, and they are a living spirit from that moment on. They never die. Their spirit never dies. It will live on together with us, either in heaven or either in hell. The spirit does not die. When a person is conceived, they are a living being. They are a living spirit from that time on. Their spirit doesn't die. So your spirit, you're dead spiritually. Even though you have a living spirit, you are dead spiritually. But he gives you grace. When he comes into your heart, he resurrects that old dead spirit. That's the only way we can describe it. And so I had to explain that it's not actually dead. You're a living spirit, but you're dead in sins and trespasses, Ephesians chapter 2. And you who are dead in sins and trespasses, have he quickened and brought alive spiritually, and now you're saved, and that's why we can draw near to God. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. We have to humble ourselves if we're going to draw near to God. If you're proud, if you're stiff, if you're rigid, hard-hearted, he cannot deal with you and draw you to himself because you're too rigid, you're too stiff. You have to humble yourself. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you submit yourself to God and resist the devil will flee from you, and all the while you'll be drawing nearer to God. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. How do you draw near to God? Well, you just draw near to him, and you can rest assured that as you draw near to him, he will be drawing near to you. God says to us, if you're waiting on me, you're backing up. Draw near to me. We want God to draw near to us. How can I get near to God? I want to get a closer walk with God. Start drawing near to him, praising him, worshiping him. Draw near to him, and he will be only delighted to draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. If you're in sin, cleanse your hands. That means, how do you cleanse your hands? You're talking about wash your hands, wear your mask, wait your distance. Wash your hands. That's not the kind of washing he's talking about. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. What does that mean? That means quit doing. I know the commercial says don't. Stop doing what you're doing. But what I'm talking about, in sin, you better stop doing what you're doing. That's how you cleanse your hands, you sinners. He said, if you're in sin, just stop doing what you're doing. Repent and turn around and get right with God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Don't think, well, one day I'm going to make it, next day I'm not. You don't know whether you're on, off, in and out, up and down. That's not the way to do it. That's double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James says. Don't you think, and let not that man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord. Why? It's not because God doesn't want to give you anything. It's because you're double-minded. You don't have a mind and a heart that God can work with. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's the way you draw near to God. To just humble ourselves before God. That's the way we do it. That's the way the prophets did it. That's the way that Abraham did. He humbled himself before God. God said, I'm going to wipe these people out. And Abraham talked to God about it. You can read it in your Sunday school lesson. He said, Lord, let's talk about this thing a little bit. And I won't go into the story, but you know the story of how he reasoned with the Lord. If there's 50 there, God said, I won't do it. Got on down to 10. He was too ashamed to ask him any more. God said, if there's 10 there, I won't destroy it. The fact is, there was not 10 there. Tony Broome believes there was not one there. There used to be one. He started out righteous, but he wasn't righteous when he ended up. There was no righteous there. Could have been. Could have been 10. It could have been Lot and Mrs. Lot. That's two. Two daughters at least that were married. Their husbands, that could have been six. They had the two right there at home. The daughters had not been married. That was eight. All you got to do is win two more people to God and you'd have enough to be spared. They didn't do it. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus is knocking on the heart's door of many people today. There's not a day that goes by. We don't think about it a lot. There's not a day that goes by what God is not seeking the lost. Jesus came, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He every day goes out looking, as it were, for man to come to him. Just like he did in the beginning. Adam, Adam, where art thou? He had hid himself amongst the trees of the garden because he'd sinned against God. And he goes out every day, as it were, calling, Tony, Tony boy, don't you think it's about time you come home? Don't you think it's about time you quit your rotten, wicked ways and get right with God before you die and go to hell? Now, I know that's a Mill Hill version of it, but that's what God is saying. Don't you think it's about time that you get right with God? Don't you think it's about time that you've been a stubborn lint head and get right with God? Give your heart to the Lord. Humble yourself before God. When you know for certain and sure that Jesus Christ did what he did for you on that cross, you'll get right with God. Amen. He died and bled for you on that cross. He suffered in agony and torture on that cross. They beat him with a whip. They spat upon him. They kicked him. They punched him. They did all those things that they did, and he went through every bit of it for you and I. If you really believe, that's what the Apostle Paul said, thou shalt confess with thy heart the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart. You confess with your mouth. You believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You believe in what he did for you, you'll be saved. There are people who have been in church for years, but are they saved? I'm not the judge, but I know that if you get saved, your life will change.
Amen.
You're going to be more than just religious. You're going to have a salvation, and you'll draw near to God, and you'll be sanctified. You'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you'll go out and make a difference for others. Jesus Christ could return at any moment. But until he does, we got so much to talk about. We got so much to do. I just feel like making a pot of Joe right now and just telling you all about it, but I can't do it. I got to wait till some other time. Because your Honolulu can't endure but so much, I know. But I want you to know that God, the sanctified Dolly Parton said, there's a whole lot more where that came from. And I ain't getting it off the internet. I ain't getting it off what the denominational thing sets out to preach and what you ought to talk about. No lineup about 7 points about feeling good about yourself. 3 points about being successful. That ain't what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a whole time religion. Holy Ghost gospel, it'll do you good.
Yes.
What I'm telling you is what God gives to me that comes out of this holy Bible.
Amen.
That's why you're here this week, and that's why, praise God, you'll be here next week, because you know what's coming down the line. We ain't no politician. We don't have no trick. I ain't aiming on retiring. I already got a disability. What in the world I want to retire for? I ain't retiring. We're just getting going good for God. What are you talking about? Let's stand, please. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this word. Draw me. We will run after you. God, help us to run after you today, to have a desire in our heart to run after you, to worship you and praise you and to bless your name, to bless you in tongues, to bless you in English, to bless you in any way that you deal with our heart. We thank you, Lord. If there's someone here today, if there's someone listening or watching, that just can't get a hold of the joy of their salvation, I pray, dear God, today that you would anoint their eyes with the oil. You would speak to them, dear God. Oh, God, I pray that you would just shake us and help us to rejoice in you. Help us, Lord, to move back where we used to be with God, to get right with God, to stir up our heart to worship and serve and praise God. We'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from the Holy Bible entitled, How to Draw Near to God. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. He wants you to draw close to Him every day. This has been a production of Tony Brew Ministries.